It is off to one of the scenes of one of the hardest days in Luton Town's history on Saturday as we return to, well, now the Etihad Stadium, to take on the world champions, Premier League champions and every other champions, Manchester City. For the first time since that playoff final against AFC Wimbledon, Jimbo, don't get much harder than this one, mate.
It's the toughest of all tough games, isn't it? But we won at the weekend, so yeah. Who cares?
We'll preview potentially tough game after this intro.
You know what I love about this town is actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls.
We're Luton people, and that's what we care about.
Hello everyone, welcome along to another episode of the Luton Town Supporters Trust podcast. Kev and the Lutonian journalist James Cunliffe coming at you once again for a preview of Manchester City against Luton Town. Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. and just let it be a little bit better than the last time we were there. I think that was the darkest day I've had in as a Luton fan. I know the York one was a pain in the arse, but there was everything about that Wimbledon one, the header, the penalty and everything else, and the fact that it's a bloody longer journey home than Wembley. Just hated that day so much. Can't possibly be that bad again on Saturday, can it, Jimbo?
I mean, there could be a lot of goals potentially, but it can't be that bad from what it means for general football. Any Manchester City fans that have tuned in thinking, what the hell are they talking about? Wimbledon. Just to let you know, all these new Manchester City fans, there's a football pyramid, and way, way down into League Five, there's a thing called the Conference.
They might find their way there.
Hopefully, one day you might find your way there. And Luton had to play in a playoff there to get out of that and back into the Football League, which is another thing that's under this thing called the Premier League, which you might hear about soon. Some time ago, what? Was it 11, 12 years ago?
Yeah, and the rest, 14, I think.
Is it 14? 14 years ago, we had to play in that playoff against AFC Wimbledon and lost on penalties.
Done it a disservice, 13 years. 2011 it was. 0-0 draw, went to penalties. Yeah. Some pillock decided to chip one down the middle and the goalkeeper didn't move. But that's all in the past. This is the here and the now. I have to say, it looks like on telly the ground's an awful lot different. So hopefully it won't bring back the memories that I've just brought fresh into all of your minds just then when we step in there.
I mean, to be fair, I went up there about 5 or 6 years ago when the Stone Roses reformed and watched that and had a great time. So that kind of wiped that away.
I'm glad one of us has had a good time there. And hopefully my good time is only a few days away from now. Obviously, we're recording this ahead of Rob's press conference on Friday, as we usually do. I'm going to get into the habit, Jimbo. Is this a must-win game of football?
I mean, they're all must-win at the moment. But I think... it's a bit of a stretch to say Luton must win against Man City. It's I think what it is that that win against Bournemouth at the weekend, which is why I was a bit dismissive in the intro, has put us in so much better position. You wouldn't have wanted to have to go to Man City and thinking we need to get something here because Everton have won and Brentford have drawn and because let's face it, how many teams go to the Etihad and get something? They made a massive deal about it the other day when Arsenal went up there. Arsenal challenging for the title, currently league leaders by goal difference. When Arsenal went there and managed to stop them scoring for the first time in 57 games at the Etihad. That's the sort of difficulties and challenges you're facing. And obviously we've had to play Man City twice down here, once in the league and once in the cup. And the league was a damn sight closer, but they didn't have Kevin De Bruyne and they didn't have Erling Haaland. And then who turns up in the FA Cup game? Them two. And they absolutely ripped us a new one, didn't they, really? Which was both incredible to see and very disheartening because they were just monsters. And they're both scored and both played against Crystal Palace at the weekend when they scored four. And you have to think now, with Arsenal being top of the tree by goal difference, they need the goal difference, so it's not going to be fun.
You know how to make me feel better when we do these things.
But let's just think back to the weekend when we beat Bournemouth and got a result against a team that hasn't potentially broken the rules 115 times.
Well, indeed, yeah. I should say we're recording this much earlier than what we normally do. It's the Easter holidays. We both have families and things like that. So we're getting this out of the way. So if Everton have had a points deduction since we've recorded this and the league table looks a lot rosier than we're going to paint it, then so be it. But just bear with us. As I say, we have got families. We've done so many of these over the last week or so. We just wanted to get this last one of this stretch out of the way and done. Yeah, Pep, if you're watching, if this gets nasty like the cup game, just quit at three, will you? There's no need to keep him on and score four, five and six and all of that nonsense. You've got a smaller club of Real Madrid either side of this game. Just worry about that. Don't worry about this game. Rest everyone. If they're any good, sit them out. Play the kids. Let us play Issa. We'll all be good, won't we?
Do Real Madrid have a Pepe style player anymore that would just kick the shit out of people?
Probably.
For fun? Because if they could do that, that would be wonderful. We only have to face like two of the three major threats.
I mean, I love Jude Bellingham. I'd love him even more if he goes on a one-man ploughing mission straight through a few of them. He plays for Real Madrid, doesn't he? I've not got that wrong.
Yeah, I'll check my notes. Yep.
Yep, I thought so. Yeah, the way you were looking at me, I was like, have I got that wrong? It's been a long week. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long week. No, that is significant though, right? The fact that either side of this game, they're in Madrid on Tuesday night, so they'll be at home to Madrid on the Wednesday after our game. They're unlikely to come away from Madrid with a tie-winning score, even if they're ahead in the tie. They're not going to, you know, not going to be 3 or 4 nil up in the tie or anything like that. So that Wednesday night is going to be significant because they are the defending champions in the Champions League as well. We saw last week that Arsenal decided to use that game to rest five players. You've got to think we're getting more of the league Manchester City 11 than the cup Manchester City 11. It just doesn't make sense to me, both as a Luton fan or if I looked at it as a neutral, for De Bruyne and Haaland to play in this game. Maybe they'll have them on the bench in reserve in case it is going a bit pear-shaped or they're not getting quite the advantage that they want in terms of the goal difference and things like that to come on and put the icing on the cake in the last 20 minutes or something. But it just don't make no sense, does it, if they're involved in a Champions League quarterfinal, to put every big gun out? We might still see a Phil Foden or something, but all three of them, that's got to be unlikely, right?
Well, I'm sold. If that can happen. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, that is a distinct possibility, I suppose, when you've got to have a double header against Real Madrid either side of it. It would make sense, wouldn't it? And De Bruyne has just come back from injury, hasn't he? And Haaland too. They had the longer injury and then a little one, didn't he, just before he came back?
Because they both missed the home league game because of injury, didn't they?
That's right.
And Foden was the key man alongside Bernardo Silva that day, wasn't it? So on the flanks.
Yeah, and they still had a World Cup winning striker on the pitch that day as well. So that we all know the scale of the task we're facing, and it's almost not a fair fight, is it? I mean,
we're climbing Everest in Wellington boots, aren't we, really? But we are though, aren't we? That's the size of the task.
It's ridiculous. This is the difference with modern football, isn't it? But sort of the older heads, Luton fans, who remember the 80s halcyon days in the top flight.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's a certain day in the 80s that the older Luton fans are going to remember of this particular fixture.
Exactly. Everybody remembers it because it's a bloody meme of Pleaty running across the pitch in his brown suit or leaping across the pitch. It's a famous day in Luton's history and just football in general, isn't it? So we've got that. And that's the sort of level that Manchester City and Luton were in back in the day when football was far more equal. you still had massive clubs like Liverpool and Manchester United, not quite Manchester United then, but Arsenal.
Everton back then as well, yeah.
Leading the way. But a team like Luton could come up to the top division and do so well like they did, you know, finishing mid-table and top halves and stuff like that, winning league cups against big teams like Arsenal. And Liverpool hated coming to Kenilworth Road back then. It was a plastic pitch they probably didn't like, but hey-ho.
Didn't mind coming near this season either.
No. But the levels were so much closer. But back then, buying the best talent from around the globe was almost unheard of, wasn't it? That really, England wasn't the best league in the world then. It was Serie A, and they had all the talent. And since the Premier League's come in, and that's changed around to the point where the Premier League is now the best league in the world, supposedly so, where it can buy all this talent and outspend everybody by ridiculous amounts to bring it in. And then, probably doesn't bode well for young English talent because they can't get through. That's another story for another day. But what they're essentially doing is that Manchester City are essentially the Harlem Globetrotters of football, aren't they? They can spend whatever they like on whoever they like, bring them in, and, probably not play by the rules as well.
To their credit, though, there is Phil Foden and Rico Lewis who've come through their system as well. So if they are good enough, they do come through. And I suspect we will see Foden in this game. He's the one who, it doesn't really rest him. I know he rested him at Crystal Palace, but it doesn't really seem to rest him this season as much as he did last season. And so I'm kind of thinking that we're going to see somewhere in the vicinity of a front four of, if they're all fit, Grealish, Foden, Doku, Alvarez, somewhere in that sort of area. Oscar Bob would be another one. He came on against Palace and scored somewhere along the line as well, didn't he? And I hope, I've got to be honest, I made that stupid comment of wanting to see De Bruyne and Haaland, didn't I, ahead of the cup game. I don't want to see either of you. You two want to sit next to me in the stands, you are more than welcome. I'll kick my sister out. She can go and have a day in Manchester and just leave us be nice. The overriding thing here, right? The only thing we can get out of this game, I'm not going to say realistically, because at the end of the day, it's still 11v11. Palace did score twice on them at the weekend. We've scored twice on them down here. Not that it did us any good. And we scored in the league game and took the lead. So I'm not going to say it's the only thing, but it's the most likely thing that we can get out of this game is the same that we got out of Arsenal, i.e. keep the goal difference respectable.
Yeah, at this stage of the season, I think, particularly since Spurs did a decent enough job, not good enough, but a decent enough job of putting a few goals past Forest.
Yeah, where were 4, 5 and 6, lads? I mean, you had half an hour. Come on.
Exactly. Come on. I think it is. I don't want to be talking like that. No football fan wants to be talking like that. That you go into a ground and just hoping for the best, and the best is just keep the score down. But that's realistically where we are. And it's not realistically just where Luton are. It's realistically where most teams are. They're that exceptional. And on the one hand, you can say they've put together an exceptional side. You've got one of the best managers, certainly of this current generation, maybe ever. Who knows? That's for another time, further down the line, in the further mists of history. But what hope has Lesser Lights got? I don't mean that with any disrespect, Lesser Lights, but when you're saying that we're hoping Phil Foden plays rather than Haaland or De Bruyne, Phil Foden's having the best season of his life. I think it's like something like 28 goal involvements this season.
All right, we don't want him to play
ridiculous.
Either.
It's ridiculous.
He can sit out as
like,
well.
He's like the third. We're talking of him like he's the third choice, and he's just not. And that is, it's a different world, and it's almost not very fun, to be honest.
Basically, what we need is Gareth Southgate to pick this Man City team, right? Because he's not going to pick Grealish, he's not going to pick Foden, and he's not going to pick a couple of others that he might have done. Listen, this is a tough game. However, people like Andros Townsend have been there and won with Crystal Palace. So, you know, he knows full well that it can happen. There will be a game plan that tries its best to happen. Quite what that is, other than sort of locking their dressing room door and making sure they don't come out until 5 o'clock. I don't know what it is, but there'll be one. But ultimately, the beauty of Saturday, and we said it a few minutes ago, the beauty of Saturday is we've turned this into a five-game season, of which this is a pre-season friendly for that five-game season, albeit a competitive one in that. And we'll go there and we'll try and win. But if we come away with a 3-1 defeat or something, then that's fine, because whatever happens, we're going to be within reach of Notts Forest after the game. The one thing we should highlight, though, they have got some defensive issues, haven't they? Kyle Walker's out injured. That helps. That can cover, because he normally covers the pace that we can offer in that side. And they've always had this problem at left back, which matches up really well to us. Obviously, Townsend's cross to Elijah down there, in the league game, came from that side. We tried our hardest to get down that side in the cup game, but there was a couple of bloody beasts at the other end of the pitch that weren't letting us have the ball for too much of it. So there are chinks and sort of ways that we can get at this side. But I suppose the problem is when you try and get at this side, they're shit scary the other way. And I suspect, I mean, you mentioned in the Bournemouth review podcast that Morris had some support in that game and it was good to see. I suspect he'll need binoculars to find his nearest teammate in this one.
Yeah, maybe you will as well. It's a big old stadium.
I'm in the middle tier as well.
Oh yeah,
I am.
he may well have. I think just all the normal rules of what Luton have done and all the positivity and stuff, it almost goes out the window because they are so superior to nearly every... They're the world champions, so they're superior to every other team on the planet. I'm amazed that they're not running away with the league, to be quite honest, but I've got a sneaky feeling that they'll just win every single one of their games and we'll pip it at the end, even though...
Yeah, me too.
It's Liverpool and Arsenal are thinking that they're probably in the box seat. That's not what the previous seasons have been like. They've just been a relentless winning machine, haven't they? And so even if they don't play particularly well, they've got so much attacking talent that they can get a goal from almost anywhere. And it's frightening, really.
Should also say, actually, likely to be no Edison either. So that takes out one of their best passers, doesn't it?
Yeah, but do you see the standing goalkeeper?
He's not bad.
That little bit of skill
at the weekend.
I mean, they've basically got two first 11s that could win trophies.
Because usually on these preview podcasts, we would pick out three threats in the opposition. Well, we don't really know how strong they're going to be. And we, as I've said in the other times we've done Man City, we could pick 33 threats out and probably still get it wrong for this one. Is it Rodri, isn't it? When he doesn't play, they've got a much different record to when he does play. Again, yeah. Pep, just sit him out. He could come and sit up with me as well. It'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
You're going to have a lot of Man City players sat in your lap at this
I'll buy him beers all afternoon as well if it keeps them there. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. You just look at their last two home games, though. Arsenal have gone there and parked the bus. That's how scared they are of conceding to them. And Aston Villa have gone there and tried and had a little bit of a go and got absolutely torn a new one. Albeit Unai Emery made something like 5 or 6 changes and got criticised for doing it. And he basically came out afterward and said, look, we've got European football on the horizon. We've got winnable Premier League games. This one was right down at the bottom of the potentially winnable Premier League game, so I've made my changes now and hopefully that benefits us in Europe. Now, if Unai Emery with that Aston Villa squad being fourth in the table at the time are thinking, well, this ain't really a winnable game, it's probably not going to serve us too well to think much better, is it?
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it? You've got teams of... We've seen Aston Villa this season. They've been phenomenal in the Luton games, particularly Aston Villa, I'm thinking. And if they're writing off playing Manchester City, then what hope does the rest of the world have? It's that. I mean, there's just the disparity between what you can possibly get out of them is just so stark, really. And like I say, they're so relentless towards the end of a season. They time it so great after Christmas, running towards the title, that all of their generally all of their big upsets happen when they're stuttering a little bit, for their standard stuttering, in the first half of the season, because after that it's win, 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 trophy. I mean,
there's an element of that's a defeatist attitude that Unai Emery put forward, but there's also an element that it's a pretty realistic one as well, isn't it?
It's a realistic one, but it's a realistic one, and I understand people who say it's defeatist, they might even be saying this now to us, but it's a realistic one. But it's not a nice one to have that realistic view. Football should be about hope, isn't it? And what could happen.
It's that that kills you, mate.
Well, certainly, yeah.
We've been killed more than enough times with it this season.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we're all ridiculous gluttons for punishment. We'll go back for the next game and go, we hope. Against hope, and something will happen.
The crazy thing here is I'm going to paint a realistic kind of attitude, but I'm going to be on the M6 on Saturday going up there thinking we can turn this lot over. That's how stupid football is, isn't it? Let's turn it to Luton. First question to ask, do we play Ted and Mengi in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I would say no, but who else is going to come in? We've got no defenders. The fact that Reece Burke came back was great. You'd maybe have to change your formation then, wouldn't you? If Ted didn't play, you'd have to play a back four. But then you're also missing Issa Kabore because he can't play against his parent club. Now, I don't really know what the solution is there other than the fact you're going to have to play them. But it's so risky when we know that Tedden's got a sore knee and he's playing through the pain barrier. You know, he said he'll do it and that's great. But what happens if, you know, he went down twice against Bournemouth? What if the worst happens? And in a game that's it's almost certain that you're not going to win, which again, I hate. Is it worth that risk? And usually you'd say, no, you're doing Unai Emery. What chance have we got now? Because we ain't got no players.
Yeah, I mean, for all that we're painting a drab picture of this game, let's look into the future 7 days. An absolute monumental game against Brentford. If we can guarantee Mengi's fit for the Brentford game, but only from him missing this game, I think it's the risk worth taking, isn't it? That Brentford game, it's not our season, but it's a hell of a lot more important than what this game would be. You're right, Issa missing really doesn't help the equation whatsoever, does it? Not just Issa, the likes of Chio, who would have filled in for Issa. He's missing as well. And look, we all know how many others are missing, and it doesn't sound like Osho is going to be back. So, yeah, Mengi's going to have to play. Maybe Rob can do a deal with Pep. We won't play Mengi if you don't play Haaland. It's a fair deal, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's going to go down well. I don't think it will happen. But there are people, obviously, that will bleat on about the integrity of the game as well. And, you know,
I mean, we're in a season where two teams have had points deductions. I think we can put the integrity of the game to one side.
Well, exactly. In 99% of the cases, I'd say, yeah, the integrity of the game is important, but not against this lot. I'm sorry.
Well, indeed, yeah.
They've got 115 yeah. charges hanging over their head for all manner of misdeeds that still have not been settled or even brought to a hearing or anything like that. You know, we may, or because we're recording this early, we may or may not have heard of Everton's next charge. And quite rightly, even though there's a lot of deluded Toffees and Nottingham Forest fans bleating on about their points deductions, and some of them are on our comments saying that they haven't been cheating, when obviously they've been found guilty, and that means by the very definition, you've not followed the rules and therefore you have cheated. Those two team sets of those fans are saying, as well as many others, well, what about Man City? Where are these happening? When's that going on? Because it's dragging on for far too long. 115 charges is a lot of charges. And they'll say all of them are unfounded. And at the moment, they're just charges. So they are. They're not proven. But that is a hell of a lot of... lot of mud to throw at the wall, isn't it? If some of that sticks, then football could be turned upside down, because
there'll be
you just got to think to what happened to Rangers and what's happened to Juventus, not for the same reasons obviously, but for not following the rules and doing really, really badly, not following the rules, getting titles stripped off them and getting relegated down divisions. Now, if that happens, then there'll be the likes of Liverpool get more titles potentially. There'll be maybe teams that got relegated because they got battered by Man City. Does that come into play? We talked about in the deep dive about the points deductions and how that affects our position with Nottingham Forest and Everton. But in the massive overall picture of football, it could be a horrible legal minefield of teams all going, well, because that team didn't follow the rules and cheated so badly, if it gets proven, X, Y, and Z has happened badly to our team.
Oh, yeah.
And now we want repercussions.
There's going to be some rich lawyers out of football in the months and, well, potentially years to come. That's for sure. Who replaces Issa Kabore? Can only be Fred, can't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, yeah, whatever choice we've got, there isn't another one. He's got to come in and he's not 90-minute match fit yet. He did another good shift when he came on, really appreciated his work down the right. And it had a lot of benefits against Bournemouth. But he can't run the whole 90 minutes, particularly up there when he's going to be chasing shadows. But he probably has to start.
He does, and it's probably going to mean, unless we change to a back four, which probably isn't really likely. I think you would imagine we're going to stick two banks of five and four in front of the goal, aren't we, like we did at Arsenal. It probably means Hashi goes back to left centre-half. And, that's what's going to make it as tough a day as anything else.
And well, that unbalance is what we saw, which was more what we were expecting of some of those players that played against Bournemouth. You talked in the preview, the review podcast about the balance that we had in the team, which is something that we've almost unheard of in 2024 for us, considering the injury crisis, but that's what it brought. And then all of a sudden you go back because of the Issa situation, particularly you go back to the couple of games before it, where you were definitely, round square pegs in round holes, and that's bad enough when you're playing any other team in this division, but when it's Man City, bloody hell.
Yep, it's basically going to be a deep side, isn't it, that's going to be set up to counter attack through the likes of Tahith Chong, Andros Townsend, Ross Barkley, if we can get him forward. I mean, the good thing is Barkley has sort of dominated this midfield in the league game, so we know that he can do it. Whether we can get him far enough up the pitch to do it in this game, I'm not sure. I would imagine Pelly Radokampansu could well come into the side, and if he does do, what a fitting place for him to make his 400th Luton appearance at the home of the world champions, having started out in the conference with us. Of course, it would give us a little bit more in the sort of centre of the park, wouldn't it? Kind of making them at least go wide. One thing we don't want to be is ripped open through the middle like we were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times in that FA Cup game. If we can at least force them to rip us open out wide, that would help. So just putting Pelly in there would at least force them a bit wider, wouldn't it? And what a place for him to make his 400th appearance, if indeed he does. Well, I'm sure he will do, even if it's only off the bench.
Yeah, I think he will have to, just by the nature of who's going to be available and he'll have to play. Yeah, it'll be a great achievement for him, and I hope for him that it's one that he can look back fondly on, really, because he deserves that. It's amazing, really. I mean, it just feels like it wasn't that long ago we were talking about his 300th appearance milestone, and now up to this one. It's magnificent what a servant he's been for the club, and you just hope that the game can be a keenly contested, hard fought one, not a one sided drubbing like the FA Cup game was.
From Staines to Man City and everything in between, Pelly Radokampansu, 400 appearances, if indeed he gets on the pitch here. This date coincides near enough 15 years to the day that we got relegated out of the Football League. So much has happened in that 15 years, hasn't it? Here we are going to Manchester City looking to stay in the Premier League. Yeah, and how do we get her this lot? I mean, it's so hard. It literally is that, isn't it? Counter-attack. I don't think we're going to be... I suppose, to be fair, we did in the second half against Arsenal, good enough to play through the thirds, but I don't think this lot's the sort of team to do that against, because they've pressed relentlessly, don't they? Arsenal had kind of eased off of their press by the time we started doing that. That you don't see that. That's the one thing I don't see this lot doing, easing off of their press. I mean, they're still pressing high up the pitch when they were 6-2 up in the bloody cup game, which was long since won. So that's the one thing I don't see happening. So really, we've got to just play this on the counter-attack and don't score in the third minute, lads, for Christ's sake, because that's going to be the longest 87 minutes known to man.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be the best option. The best option available, at least. But that's going to be so difficult to do that. I can't think of another team that's... I mean, I'm going to get back into the realms of hope here, believe it or not, so don't faint. The one thing you might be able to say is that if you know, Manchester is so dominant at their home ground, there's always once that has to slip, doesn't it? Somebody has to give them an upset, and that could be Luton. So you could hope for that. But is that sort of a hangover view from days when football was far more equal, when you could go to a team that are performing so great, a top team that are performing so great at their ground, and give them a bloody nose? Because we're seeing at the Emirates, at Anfield, at the Etihad, them just being completely dominant and nobody gets a sniff.
However, in recent seasons, Palace have won there, Brentford have won there. You know, these are teams that are in the lower half of the Premier League. So, I mean, it is possible. I mean, literally everything would have to go Luton's way. I mean, that Lady Luck that we referenced in the Bournemouth review, she's going to have to be with us, well, for about 24 hours to get get ourselves out of this one. But yeah, you're right, they play the game of football on the grass, because you just never know what happens on any given day. And we said that even at Tottenham, and for what was it, 55 minutes we were leading them. So I mean, with these boys, you just never know, and that's the beauty of it, really. This is a tough game. It's a hard game. It gets no harder than this. Yes, the overriding thing is don't get spanked. Keep, you know, this thing could come down to goal difference. So if we only come away from there, having parked the bus for 90 minutes, but come away 2 goals down or whatever. I mean, Aston Villa recently lost 4-1 there, didn't they? So we would still have bettered them, and they're fourth or fifth in the table. So I think this one's one to be realistic about. I think this one's one to just, we've got to go up there, we've got to enjoy it if we can enjoy it. If it does get nasty, we just got to suck it up. It would be the first time in the league that it has got truly nasty, if it gets truly nasty. I think this one's just one to literally suck it up and then dust ourselves down on the M6 on the way home, and then build ourselves up for the mother of all months of 5 games of Premier League football that will keep us in this division. Unless we absolutely steal something here, this game isn't going to keep us in the division.
No, and I suppose you could draw parallels, completely different parallels, into the Championship Great Escape season, when it was down to the, you know, that when Nathan Jones came back, it was almost a lost cause when he came back. And then it got worse when Reading came to Kenilworth Road and pumped us 5-0, and you thought, well, that's the end of that. And that turned out okay. So obviously different levels. So You could say that I don't think a big result against Luton would derail the whole situation, because it didn't then. And there's a lot of the core players that were still there, still in this squad. But you never know, do you? So you don't want it to be a spanking. They won't roll over and die and give up. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that Manchester City are so good and relentless,
as we've seen,
that is a distinct possibility. But if it is, like you say, suck it up, put it to one side, shelve it, and focus on the Brentford game.
Absolutely that. Absolutely that. Yep. No doubt about that one. I guess really the importance of Saturday in the overall picture is that Wolves do the business. Wolves have got Forest. So whatever happens to Luton, if Wolves win, then we go into this five-game burst, level on points with Forest. Can we be one, even if the goal difference does take the hammer in, can we be 1 point better off than Forest over the last five games? I believe we can. I believe we've got the fixtures to do it. We've got three home games, two of them against teams not very far from us that we can reel slowly back in as well. So maybe the big thing on Saturday is Wolves. But before we go, let's hear from a couple of people that are going to be involved on Saturday. First of all, the man who's got the, well, let's be honest, daunting task of putting together a game plan. It's a big week for Rob Edwards because he's got to face the fans in the Meet the Manager on Monday night, and that can sometimes be hard enough, albeit he won't get a difficult ride. Other managers have done. He certainly won't, or if he does, someone give your head a wobble if you do give him one. And then he's got to put a game plan together of trying to go to Man City and force the players to believe that they can get the job done. Here's what he had to say in his post-match press conference after the Bournemouth game.
I don't know what points it's going to take. I don't know what is going to happen elsewhere. Clearly, next week's going to be difficult against City away. We will obviously go there with a plan and try and compete like we have in every single game. We know how difficult that is and what they're fighting for. After that, there's five games against teams that we can get points. So clearly, they're going to be really, really important. And we will, like today, we'll have to put the pressure on. I don't know if I say three wins gives us a chance. I don't know. We might need four. We might need another 12 points, which is some going, isn't it, from the remaining games. So, but what we've done is we're in the fight, aren't we, at the moment? We're in that mix. So it's difficult to say how many we're going to need, what we're going to need. We're going to just go into every game and try our best and try and win it. And we have got games there that we'll go in with total belief that we can as well. Hopefully we get some bodies back as well in the next few weeks. We're working really hard and hopefully we can only get stronger from here on in.
Yeah, don't worry about having them back for this game, Rob. Send them out for the Brentford game. That's a really interesting point from Rob. And let's quickly discuss that. We ain't going to need four wins. There's no way 37 points is the number to stay up in the Premier League this season. I mean, we've got Everton, whose only win since about 1923 came through, goalkeeper smacking it straight at Calvert-Lewin and it ended up in the back of his net on Saturday. We've got Forest, who got that win against Fulham, who turned up at Notts County. I think they were that bad, but they can't win at all either. And for all Brentford keep on scoring goals and playing well, you look at their wins and you've got to go quite a way back for their wins as well. 37's a pipe dream. There's absolutely no way from here we need 37. I do think we might need 34 though. I do think three wins is the number.
Yeah, I think three wins would be sufficient. Four would be almost dreamland.
We're in Europe, aren't we, with four? Can we still get to Europe?
I don't think so.
Bournemouth fans were talking about being in Europe.
They were talking about it.
I was like, I had to check the league table and bugger me. They could have done if they'd beaten us as well.
They could have, but...
It's only 5 minutes ago. We were trying to win a game to go above them. What happened there?
Yeah, they went on a bit of a run, didn't they?
Didn't they?
Yeah, there is that possibility. I think, he's just come off the back of a win there, isn't he? And for the first time in 11 games as well. So he's very happy with that. And he's a relentlessly positive manager anyway. And that's a positive and a bonus for where Luton find themselves and getting all the buy-in from the players to believe that they can do that. And as we've said many a time, no doubt that they do believe that. And I think everybody else is starting to believe of that. That's what happens when you get a win, doesn't it? That's the results business. And everybody's on board with that. So, it's a big ask to get that many wins in that short amount of games because it hasn't happened this season, but it's about momentum, isn't it? And that's what the Bournemouth game could do. I think there's got to be an element of just not forgetting about City, because I've no doubt that Rob and the players would believe they can go up there and get something because that's just how they are. But the realisticness of it, maybe in the aftermath of it, is just to forget about whatever happened there and realise that you are good enough to beat a lot of teams in this division and you're going to face some that are in and around you and nervous.
Yep. Give me 34 points, I'll sign for it now and we'll take our chances. It'll be interesting how this game plays out. I think back to Fulham in the first playoff season in the Championship. We got 2-0 down at half-time and we picked our battle, didn't we? We sacked that second half off. It got messy. Mitrovic scored about 5 million goals. And but we knew that win the game against Reading on the Saturday and we were in the playoffs. And we knew that at half-time in that game. I wonder if it gets slightly messy here if we just like don't do what we did in the cup game. If they go 3-0 up, just don't poke the bear and rattle them again. Just let sleeping dogs lie and focus on the following Saturday.
I think all possibilities are on the table here and all options should be considered. Before the Bournemouth game, Rob was talking about how if it gets down to those last few games, really important ones, and some of the players might not be 100% fit, but maybe calculated risks that you play some of them to try and get something, try and get a result somewhere, have players that are playing in the right position, even if they're not 100%, which rarely any player is at the end of the season stage. So if he's considering that, then I think what you suggested there is also got to be on the table.
Yeah. Never get next Saturday out of your mind for this one. That is the first telling game. One man who might not have next Saturday in his mind just yet is a man who's heading back, well, kind of home, really, considering he was at Hyde at one stage, and that's Jordan Clark. And James caught up with him in the post-match to the Bournemouth game, and he had this to say about the upcoming game.
It'd be nice to get two more goals, wouldn't it, you know? We're not silly. We know it's going to be an absolute, the hardest game in the world, you know, so... that's what we had to win today. We knew it was so important to win today. Obviously, listen, we'll go there with a game plan to win. We always do. But like I said, we're not daft. We know how hard it'll be to go there. So we were speaking to a couple of the Arsenal players after the game on Wednesday night, and even they were saying it's just frightening how they suffocate you. You can't get out your own half on that, and just demoralising in a way. You know, you've not got the ball for that long and stuff. So, but. Obviously, we've gone to the big team so far this year and we've competed really well. And who knows, eh? Who knows?
Who knows indeed, but there you have it. If the Arsenal players are finding it difficult,
exactly.
What chance have we got? But the one thing you know, these boys will give absolutely everything they can. As I say, there might be a time where you just pick your battles and wait for another day. Time will tell on that one. Before we finish this podcast, as we always do, we will go to the score predictions. James is getting quite handy at this now after a second one of the season against Bournemouth. Manchester City against Luton, apart from Messi, how does it end?
What, Lionel Messi?
We don't need him. They're good enough as it is.
I don't know, man. I feel like the weight of pressure and expectation on my shoulder now being...
Everyone is looking at you for the correct score here. They'll be down the bookies putting the money on and everything.
I know. That's the pressure that comes with being the league leader in the match prediction.
I should just point out he's got 2 out of 32 so far this season.
How many you got?
1.
Come on. What was the question we're talking about? Oh, yeah. Score predictions. 4-1.
To Luton?
No.
Oh. Imagine that. Yeah, listen, I've gone all through the season saying that I can't bring myself to go against Luton to lose, but I'm not stupid. There's no result that Luton are getting in this game. But I don't think we'll get smashed. I think we'll play this similar to how we played the Arsenal game. I do think they're better than Arsenal, though, so I'll give them an extra goal, 3-0 to Man City, and I will be back on the normal Luton not to lose for the last 5 games of the season, I promise you.
Did everybody see that? Broken your rule of a lifetime.
I have.
Oh my God.
And everyone's going to see me at Man City and they're going to call me a Judas and everything, aren't they? But he went 4-1 before me, so should actually give us a goal, shouldn't I? Because we always score. That's bad thinking on my part.
I don't know, you're revising it now, are you?
No, I'm not, no. We'll stick 3-0. To be honest, I thought I'd do a correct score that I'll be happy with. And I'm not happy, because I won't be happy to watch Luton lose. Content with, that's the word. I came away from Arsenal content at a 2-0 defeat. Probably come away from here kind of content with a 3-0. But hey, I'll like I said to you, by the time I'm on the M6, I'll be believing that we can win the game and all sorts until about 3:05 or something like that. That's it for this episode of the podcast. Thank you very much to everyone who has been watching and listening over the last week or two. They've been coming thick and fast, but relax. Not another one now for the best part of, well, certainly half of a week. So the longest distance that we've had in between getting these podcasts out to you. If you do subscribe, you'll know exactly when the review podcast drops. I can't guarantee it's going to be a pleasant listen, but you never know. It wasn't too bad at Arsenal, was it?
Yeah, well, I hope we don't have to come and try and analyse a thrashing. But
if we do, we do. We've not had to do it so far this season, so we'll make light of the situation, whatever happens. Thanks to the Hightown Club for staging our studio, as they always do, to Sean Grant and the Wolfgang for our intro music, and to Ed Smith Creative for all the designs that you see on set. Thanks for your thoughts, as ever, James. And, well, if you've got a ticket in the away end on Saturday, it goes without saying, be loud and proud. Give the boys absolutely everything you've got. Jesus Christ, they are going to need it. They probably need him as well, to be fair. But until next time, which will be the review podcast, please go easy on us, City. Please. Come on, you Hatters.
We are Premier League! Yes! I love this town. I love this town. I love this town. You know what I love about this town? It's actually you. Everyone in it has got these massive souls. We're Luton people. And that's what we